So what's your wife think about this collection?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So she puts up with it. She tolerates it. You know, the biggest thing is, if I just had a room chocked full of toys and it was just spending a ton of money, I think she might be really annoyed with it. Not that she isn't annoyed. There's actually quite a bit of money in buying and selling toys.
There is a podcast in Iowa, Farm for Profit was named by they. They stirred up a banker near, then quick came an auctioneer. Making profit was their first goal, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go. These formats shook us to our core. With Farm for Fun, you will not snore. The banker set all mics to on, and the mullet of podcasts was born. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go. Before we knew, conversations grew. Growing corn even said F you. So won't you join Tenor Dave, Corey and crew? Please like, share, review. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go.
Hey listeners, we are 1 week away from Cyber Monday and kicking off Black Friday week. Welcome to the Farm for Profit podcast. This is Tanner Winteroff.
This is Corey Hillebo.
And this is David Whitaker.
And if you remember from last year, because I know you are a diehard listener, we gave you a list of things that you should buy the people that are really hard to shop for. And we're not doing that again. We're not going to bore you with that. We have a fantastic Farm for Fun guest today. So listeners, that's the difference. This is a Farm for Fun show. Farm for Profit, which is next week or the next one in the queue, has a What's Working in Ag segment and a general topic for you. So those are our two different styles of shows.
And Tanner, just like you're saying that we last year didn't have anybody or any suggestions for him this year, I might just have a code that would be good for him.
Ah.
And that code is Farm, the number four, Profit. Now, what does that code get you is the real question. It's not necessarily a gift, but it might make a gift. If you go to OutbackWrap.com, our listener review today is brought to you by Outback Wraps. They help you easily connect equipment to the hydraulic hose markers, and now they have a deal that's up to 80 feet long. Use the promo code Farm for Profit.
What is that thing called?
The snake.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The snake.
Hurry and get it because they might sell out. That is actually one of their fears is it's become such high demand. So OutbackWraps.com, Farm for Profit, gets you 20% off.
And this week's listener review is from Andy.the.farmer on TikTok. And what's his review, Corey?
Andy the Farmer on TikTok listened in the tractor earlier and it was great, y'all.
Perfect. That is exactly right. Thank you, Andy, for leaving your review behind. Listeners, don't forget to send your ideas for topics and guests to farmforprofitllc@gmail.com so that way we can get it incorporated. But also now, let's hear a message from our partner, John Deere, Dave.
You bet. They're minimizing risks. They're improving yields. They're increasing the profit margin. And guys, in today's farming operations, data, I always say it, is the key to achieving all of this.
It's no secret that data is helping more and more farmers gain ground in their operation. And there's no better way to manage all that data than through John Deere Operations Center.
Do you actually use that, Corey?
I actually do. And I actually did a tweet a few weeks ago to the head of it.
Oh.
And I was like, I can't believe I haven't been on John Deere Operations Center until this year. I feel like I'm behind the eight ball, but I'm so glad I found it.
Well, they're the leading management platform. John Deere is consistently and continuously fine-tuning features in the Operations Center to make it easier and faster for you to analyze the farm data. Within their Operations Center, you can collect and analyze, and I think you're doing this, Corey,
yep,
all of that data on your machine, in the field. They have an app, crop data for the year. So year to year, you can make data-driven decisions moving forward in your operation.
So do you actually do this yet? Because it says you can set up field instructions for your machine operators, then push those instructions directly to them so your operator doesn't make any mistakes. So they
do that for your dad?
No, I don't have that many operators, but I could see.
Yeah.
That's like a BTO thing right there.
I think that'd be great. So with all your yield data in the operations center, you can analyze your operations performance and make those changes to help make next year even better. John Deere continues to make this operations center your go-to place to gain ground in your operation. It's free to use. Just create the account at operationscenter.deere.com or download the app, Apple Store or Google Play Store. Go out there or just reach out to your local John Deere dealer and ask more questions. So thanks
to John Deere for being a partner of the Farm for Profit podcast.
I've been using it to, because I'm not the one in the combine. Normally we keep Dad in the combine, and I want to see what things are yielding and what the progress of the field is. You know, how many more acres do you got? I don't know normally because I'm not in the combine. I can go to my app. I can see exactly where the combine's in the field. I can see the yield data. I can see what hybrid's doing better. It's awesome.
I like it. Well, Corey, this is exciting. Our guest is here in studio. We don't get to do this very often, but he's from our own backyard. I can't wait to get to meet him. Are you ready?
I am ready. Today on the Farm for Fun podcast, we got a man that still plays with toys. Toy Tratters, some might say. He's also a collector of those toy trackers. He has over 342,000 followers on TikTok. Like the rest of us in this room, I think he's outkicked his coverage in the wife category. A man that is the pinnacle of in life, it's mandatory to grow old, but not mandatory to grow up. From Boone, Iowa, Mr. Tyler Price.
Hi.
Welcome.
What's up, man? I nailed the intro. I didn't nail anything before that. I'm happy to have you in studio. We don't get a guest very often. What's going on? How's it going?
Oh, just enjoying the awesome Iowa weather right now. So
yep.
It's actually pretty nice for what it is.
So let's get a little background. I said you're from Boone, and you're known for your toy tractors. But yep. Tell us everything about you.
Okay. So I actually grew up south of Fort Dodge, Iowa, originally, and we were farmers. And you know, as time went on, I knew that farming wasn't going to be in the cards for me. And so went on to college and got my degree in graphic design and work for Iowa State University now, doing kind of web design, graphic design, some digital marketing, and then I also do freelance work on the side. So being that I don't farm, I still wanted to have some kind of connection to farming. So farm toys kind of popped into the world for me. So
really? So were you a big time farm toy guy as you were growing up as a kid?
Yeah. So as a kid, you know, almost every single one of my family members would get me toys, you know, for Christmas, for birthdays. And that's kind of how we got paid too. So we'd go to the dealership after working a long day and I'd beg my dad to, you know, get me that little tractor or a little, you know, mower or whatever they had at the time. Yeah. So it just kind of grew from there. And, you know, I had a little farm setup display down in my grandpa's basement, and my grandma would always go through and set all that up. You know, I'd trash it, you know, and get it all destroyed. She'd go back in and straighten it up just like she'd do on the real farm. And yeah.
So the tractors were the currency of child labor.
Yeah, that's pretty much right. Yeah. You can work as many hours as you want there. So.
Yeah.
Actually, I just listened to the Manure Spreader podcast, the episode that came out first part of November. And he was talking about how when he first operated a tractor, that was his payment. Like he'd spend 2 weeks out in the tractor, end up at John Deere, and would walk away with 1/64th scale machine.
It's pretty good pay. We actually raised pigs growing up too. So I got my fair share of loading pigs at 4 a.m. and power washing on the weekends and, you know, going to school smelling like, you know, hog crap sometimes.
Yeah, I know how that goes. So does your family still farm?
No, actually, I was probably about 10 years old. So back in 2000, my uncle and my dad were both farming, and they farmed maybe 600-700 acres. We owned some of the land, you know, just from generations of the family having it. And then we did cash rent on some of that. But at the time, you know, they needed to either go and try to find more land, which was not easy to do when everyone in your area is either a family member or a friend, or buy more equipment too, some newer equipment. And so they decided at that time to actually put it up for cash rent. And so they cash rented the land that they had, you know, gave up the land that they were already farming that they didn't own. So growing up until 10 years old, I thought I was going to be a farmer. And then after that, you shifted gears and unfortunately didn't get to farm.
So what are you doing now?
So as I was growing up, I loved to draw, and I would draw all the equipment and everything else. So I decided I'm good at computers. I'm good at drawing. Let's do something, you know, with design. So I went into graphic design at Iowa State University and graduated through that program, and then worked for a web design company here, actually in Ames, so real close to here. Saltech Systems is the name of their company, and learned quite a bit there. I started out doing an internship and then moved on from there to working for the university, doing kind of the same thing, but mainly just for, you know, just a few sites there. And then on the side, I'm also doing freelance, so doing digital marketing. That's kind of where I've shifted away from. You know, websites are there, but digital marketing seems to be a little bit more of a market for me right now.
So you're like geofencing and remarketing ads and
remarketing. All of that. Yeah. So email campaigns, remarketing. And then the TikTok thing kind of comes into that too. So I've been doing some of that for some other brands, doing branded videos, or, you know, they send me toys. I do reviews on them. So I do some for Ertl, Outback Toys, Dalton's Farm Toys. So that's kind of fun.
So then is that like a hobby, or is that actually kind of a part-time job?
So it started out just as a hobby last year during, you know, when COVID and everything hit. I decided that, you know, I was kind of bored, and we had just gotten a puppy. And so I thought, oh, I'll do some videos on my puppy and jokingly and send that to my family. And TikTok, as you guys know, runs around trends. And so at the time, there was kind of like a trend. You know, you would say everyone has this one thing in your house that everyone's kind of jealous of or something like that. And so I did the video of that, of the farm toys, just mocking myself, you know, because I got this collection of toys in there. And next thing I know, I'm getting a bunch of people asking, oh, do you have a John Deere 4440 or a 1066? All these different toys. So I just started responding. And next thing I know, I've got 1,000 followers. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot of people. And, you know, I spent years trying to get that kind of following on like YouTube. And a year and a half later, I think we're at like 340 something. So, yeah.
Huh. Whoa.
Yeah, is that almost 343?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
342.7 or something like that. Yeah. I looked before I came in.
The reason I was drawn to your account is because I related. I had those toys as a kid. I actually had a farm table, and I think I've put that picture up before of, you know, it was a piece of plywood in U shape that I could drive around, and the fields were planted and my sheds were up. I think there are a lot of adults that are envious
of
your collection.
It's interesting because obviously with any collecting, nostalgia is what drives it. And so, you know, I have a lot of the older toys that are, you know, from when I was a kid. I have almost every single toy that I ever had growing up. So if you show those, you know, yeah, there's someone else within my same age or, you know, older, younger, that remembers opening that up on Christmas. As you get further into collecting, you start to get deeper down. And, you know, I've got some pieces in my collection that are a few thousand dollars, and it gets pretty insane. So.
Oh, I got so many questions. Just like he said, opening stuff up on Christmas, that's probably what screwed us for the value of our collection, is we actually opened them and played with them.
No, I think you get more value out of them that way. I really do.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Look at that route.
My mouth is dry, though. I do want to stay on this topic, but we got to get this first one in.
All right.
I mean, this isn't the chronological order of shows, but the last time we were in recording, we had to do... Non-alcoholic
beer. Oh, that's right. We did.
I just listened to that one, too, and I was like, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, here should have gone, what am I getting myself into?
This smells good.
Yes, so this is, again, courtesy of Dahl Distributing. This is part of the Truly Holiday Pack. So what we've got in your cups right now is Truly Spiked Apple Spice Hard Seltzer.
It smells like a caramel apple sucker kind of
holiday party pack.
Tell us what this can looks like, Dave, while we taste this.
Apple pucker.
It's like it's apple pucker is what it smells like for sure. Spiked apple spice. Their cans, just like a normal Truly can, as you know, sideways logo. Spiked apple spice hard seltzer, black with some neon green. It's got all the colors of Christmas on it. It's got the greens, the reds, the blues, the oranges, all to go.
What do you think, Tyler?
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's kind of like the green sucker that's got the caramel around it without the caramel. So I like caramel.
I have cinnamon in my nose. Like it's finishing in my nose.
Cinnamon. Oh, that'll get her in the mood there.
And there's the snippet. That'll get her in the mood there.
Speaking of, so what's your wife think about this collection?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So... she puts up with it. She tolerates it. You know, the biggest thing is, if I just had a room chocked full of toys and it was just spending a ton of money, I think she might be really annoyed with it. Not that she isn't annoyed. There's actually quite a bit of money in buying and selling toys. But as one example, my neighbor that actually kind of got me started back into it, he was 95 years old. He had a massive farm toy collection down in his basement. He went down to Florida, then found out he couldn't drive anymore because his license, you know, lapsed or whatever. And so he ended up having to move into a nursing home. So his family contacted me and said, hey, we've got all these toys. Would you be interested in them? So I was like, okay, let me look at what you've got. I went down there and looked, and they wanted like $3,000. And at the time, I only had the toys that I was collecting as a kid. So I'm like, $3,000, a lot of money. That's going to be a hard sell to the wife. So I picked out some of the toys that I liked. They had the anteaters, the 2+2s, and things like that I always thought were really cool. I picked those out, and she was like, oh, $150. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cheap. So I started just throwing more stuff into the pile and seeing what she would want for it. And then ended up helping them sell some of the toys. They actually sent them to an auction in Boone. Then I had all these extra toys that I really didn't need. So I started selling them on these different Facebook groups. And next thing you know, I've got a little bit of money in my pocket. So, you know, best thing I could do there was go off, sell them to other people, buy more toys. And it just kind of created this, you know, cyclical thing that just buying and selling, and After that, I found out there was a farm toy store in Newton, Iowa called Dalton's Farm Toys. Went down there and, you know, it's like every little kid's dream and honestly probably every adult, you know, that's into farming. So I saw all these toys in there and started buying some from him and got to talking. And next thing you know, we kind of sparked a relationship, a business relationship. So that put even more money in the pocket, you know, doing the website for him. And long story short, there wasn't the money coming in, the income from it. I think maybe she'd be annoyed with me, but it works out pretty good when you got a little bit of money coming in.
So you subscribe to Toy Farmer magazine?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to advertise there if you're an auction company and you have farm toys.
Yeah, so. Toy Farmer's awesome. Actually, I've become pretty good friends with Kathy, the one that owns it there. So I've had an article in their magazine and I enjoy reading it.
So then does your wife let you have toys throughout the house or do you have to have them only in one room?
That's a good question. I try to sneak them out into the office. And so I've got one Oliver that was in a fire that she sometimes lets me put out there because it kind of has like a charcoaled look and it looks pretty neat. But other than that, she'd keep it in my office. And if you guys watch my TikTok, you've seen my office is just jam-packed full. Uh-huh. Of toys, so nice. I really don't need too much more room.
You need to make a TikTok on how to refold the boxes. One time we did an auction, we go down there and the guy says, I have some farm toys and there's about 3,000.
Oh my gosh.
There's about 3,000 in his basement, wall to wall, floor to ceiling, top to bottom, front to back. He had them all in display cases. He had all the boxes and he had diligently taken all the boxes and flattened them. They've been flattened for 25 years. Mm. And so we're trying to figure out how you put these and how the wheel goes around it. It took us longer to figure the blooming boxes out than it did to do the entire auction.
It's been cool to watch because you have shown people how you can like undo the glue
on
Matchbox cars, the tractors, get it out, and then it's still intact.
Yeah, so if you use acetone on the back of the cardboard, then you can get the cover, you know, the blisters, what they call it, to come off of the packaging. Unfortunately, the farm toy ones don't really work that way because they all have a laminated card. But people are always blown away. And I actually do it just to increase engagement because I know you can just rip the thing open and whatever. But I know every time I do it with acetone that someone's going to be like, why don't you just rip the thing open? Uh-huh. And I'm like, because I want you to say that.
I want your comment.
Yeah, that engagement is good, whether it's negative or positive. So that's funny.
So what age were you when the guy from down in Florida let you go in and...
Yeah, that was actually only probably 3 or 4 years ago.
So is that the start of like... So you were collecting your own, but then that was the start of like...
Yeah, I don't even think I had any farm toys in my house, say, 4 years ago. I don't think I had... They were all, say, at my grandpa's house in his basement and, you know, at our farmhouse. And yeah, so that kind of sparked it. I've kind of joked... He's since passed away. He was 95, so, you know, pretty good life. But I've joked that he's like... you know, come into my body or something like that. Like, you know, made it, you know, all of a sudden he's like, you know, living through me, you know? So yeah, I still have quite a few of his toys in my collection that I'll never sell, but yeah, that's what sparked it. Yeah. It just kept growing. It's like a disease. So it's a disease.
At what point does it become full-time and you're not doing your other stuff or is that always something that you're going
to
be doing?
So that's interesting. So my initial intent on TikTok, as I saw that this was starting to become something, I was looking at it. How can I get some value out of this? And I watch a lot of YouTube. So Unbox Therapy is one of the big YouTube channels I watch. And then I watch Casey Neistat, who's a vlogger. And I really enjoy consuming that content. But I'm like, how can I make this, you know, how can I make money off of this, basically? So TikTok gives you so much money, like from the creator fund. After you get 10,000 followers, you get just 3 cents. I think that's the CPM. It's like 3 cents per thousand, which is very low. YouTube is like $7 to $10, which I do monetize my YouTube as well. But TikTok is pennies. You don't get anything. Actually, I just left it just to do a little bit of a test to see if it'll increase the views because I've heard different stories about that. As far as doing it full time, you know, I thought, well, let's do 60-second reviews. I was like, let me do these reviews that are 60 seconds because that's what TikTok's cap was at the time. Now you can go up to 3 minutes. I thought that'd be fun. Let's unbox it, talk about it, and then go with it. I've had a few brands jump on. So as I talked about, like Ertl, the company that actually makes a lot of the toys, they've sent me toys and I've even got a meeting with them this weekend. And so I'll be talking with them more about how to get their TikTok channel going. So
are you more of a Speccast or an Ertl
or like
Precision Series?
I do it all. Yeah. So Ertl with the Precision Series is awesome. Like those things are super detailed. Speccast is doing a really good job too. The biggest problem with them is that they don't have the licensing. Ertl's got a lot of that licensing locked down. So we'll just have to see long-term where all that goes. But
And it's not only farm toys.
Yeah, no, I do Hot Wheels, die-cast cars, RC cars. And that's where I thought building my brand, you know, I debated on giving myself a different name on TikTok. You guys all have your names. And, you know, I do branding for a living, so you think I'd brand myself. But I didn't want to lock myself into a corner and just say, okay, you know, Tie Guy, the Toy Guy or something, you know, like something like that. And
yeah, I'm really screwed. I'm never getting out of banking.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And you can't ever get out of corn, pork, or beans.
Well, we don't have one for the podcast, so that's our out.
That's true. Got to each have our own personality.
Mm-hmm. I kept wanting to say like T-Pain.
T-Pain? T-Money is what someone calls T-Money, me. Okay. Yeah, so like Tyler Price, you know, money and everything else. But yeah, I just kept my name on there. And yeah, the goal was after I got started and started getting a pretty big following, is like, okay, let's see if brands will start giving you more. But TikTok is so early and so young that monetizing that platform is really hard.
I was going to say, how do the companies you work for on there, mm-hmm. you know, how do those ads go over? Because I feel like I don't consume the ads on TikTok as much as I do in other places.
Yeah, so I try to blur that line a little bit. You do still have to disclose, okay, this is like sponsored, or, you know, I'll say in my thing, you know, Outback Toys sent this over, Ertl sent this over. Those videos don't perform very well typically compared to like the trends. And the problem is anytime you're trying to send somebody out from TikTok over to a website, TikTok knows that, right? Their algorithm is going, oh, you're making people leave. Yeah. You know, we don't want that. TikTok wants people staying on that platform.
Have you ever, since you do digital media, ever, maybe you guys comment too. What he's talking about is like TikTok knows when you send something out. Every time I post a TikTok on Facebook, nobody sees it. But I could just organically save the video and then upload the video to Facebook and it does better. But if you ever share it, it's like Facebook knows that's a TikTok. We don't want you here.
Yeah. Huh. There's actually a really good opportunity if you guys are into doing that kind of stuff. Facebook is pushing hard with Reels. And so Instagram and Facebook are the same thing. You can literally just repost your TikToks over to Instagram. And if you do your editing outside of that platform, outside of the native app, then you don't have the watermarks on there. So you can post it to Instagram and then say allow it to be promoted on Facebook, and you'd be surprised the views that you're getting on there. So
we're going to have so many video editors in this world. Everybody's learning to do this with filters and et cetera, that we're going to have the best videos you've ever seen.
I would echo, even if you're not trying to push them to another place, like say we had the, hey, Tony Reed, you know, Growing Corn 2020 on the podcast, and it's like, hey, if you want to put a TikTok out about, you know, being on the podcast, and he did. Every one of his videos has 50,000 views or more, and then that one has 3,000.
800. Yep. Yeah.
It's like people smell it out. They sniff it out. They
I don't even know if it's the people. I mean, I guess maybe a little bit.
It's all based on watch time. So the minute that they start to feel like they're getting an advertisement to them, you know, the individual is going to scroll. So,
but it's crazy when you get a good one or hit a good one for no reason.
Yeah.
It's there now. I mean, it's going like crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like, how did that many people just decide to start
random.
Watching it?
It's so random. I had some videos that I did, you know, just over the weekend that have, you know, in 3 days have like 700,000 views, or it'll probably go over a million when it's all said and done. Yep. And it's the same video I've done 100 other times.
So what we need is a subliminal Farm for Profit logo on the coffee mug.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's right. That is sitting right next to the unboxing of the toy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just always sitting right there in the corner.
Yeah. Never say anything about it. Don't. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Why is he always drinking out of a Farm for Profit mug?
And it does. I mean, there are brands that will do that. So I've gotten the most common one is the coldest water bottle. They've tried to get me to do it. And I'm like, they only want to pay you like $150. And I'm like, yeah, that's not happening.
That's what Randy does.
Yeah.
Randy. Oh, Randy.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I shouldn't talk bad on it.
You're good.
A lot of the TikTokers will get that. Yeah. So that's
Field cool. Rose.
That is Field Rose.
He's got cold water or coldest water bottle.
Oh, I did watch. So he's got, the twin brother. Okay. So I listened to that one. That's pretty good.
So what makes...
Before we get into that, I know where you're going. And I want to have a drink before we get to that, because I think we're going to talk about that a long time.
All right.
My first question before we have a drink is, does your wife have a hobby?
That's a really good question. Yeah, so she works out. That's what she does. Hey, so she does a lot of that. But I do think hobbies are super important.
She can have these Trulies because there's only 2 grams of carbs.
There you go.
1 gram of sugar and 100 calories.
Carbs are the enemy.
Carbs are the enemy.
Well, they're good carbs and bad carbs.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about them. I just like carbs in general.
Yeah. Dole Distributing dropped off Trulies. Holiday Sangria-style hard seltzer. Serve cold to get warm.
Okay. Let's give it a try.
Holiday Sangria.
Oh. Wow, there's a spice I was not expecting.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
It's kind of like you accidentally drank a Christmas ornament. You know, like, or the potpourri.
Potpourri.
Yeah. Yeah.
Accidentally drinking things that you don't expect sucks. Like, if you, like, reach over thinking you're getting, like, water and it's Dr. Pepper or something, like, in the middle of the night, and just, like, they're...
You know, or your buddy's chew bottle.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I've seen guys do that.
That's
I'm like, rip the label off, guys. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Why did you leave that in my truck?
Don't use tea or cream soda or root beer bottles.
Or Pepsi.
Pepsi. Yeah, so this is Trulies Holiday Party Pack, and we just had the Holiday Sangria style, which tastes like potpourri.
I, It's like Huff and Mom's Potpourri.
Yeah. Huff and Mom's Potpourri.
You can take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
All right, Dave. Now you can ask your question.
Man.
He probably already forgot.
I didn't forget. What makes toys valuable? Because I have people that come to the auction like, oh, well, I eBayed this one and it's worth like 130. I'm like, yeah, our average is 65. Mm-hmm. It's not going to bring 130. So anybody that collects tractors that listens to this podcast, what are we looking for? Are we looking for in the box? Are we looking for manuals? Are we looking for age, certain series, or just rare?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So rarity obviously is one of the biggest things, right? So if there's only five of something made, that's going to make a huge difference.
But how do you find out?
Yeah, that's
another, a book.
Yeah, there are books out there. So there are guys like Toy Tractor Times. He also does like Big Tractor Power. He's a YouTuber. He knows a lot about that kind of stuff. He's got a publication online that he talks about it. Toy Farmer, the magazine you guys were talking about, they'll do some of that kind of stuff in there. As far as like referencing for prices, when I look how I value them, you know, something that I like isn't necessarily something that anyone else likes. And then the, you know, inverse of that, auction results, that's a huge one. So Girard Auction, they're like the Mecum of farm toy auctions, it seems like.
They biggest farm toy auction Girard? Company. Girard, yep.
Yeah, it's
Ken
huge.
Girard.
No free
yeah,
ads.
Yeah, Ken's super nice guy. Mike and Ken, yeah. So
the only thing is he sometimes passes us toy auctions because he gets so many.
Yeah.
He's booked out for years, actually. So if you don't have significant value, he's not going to sell one or two off toys. He wants the 4,000 collection.
I'm going to copyright this right now. It's over the air. Can't take it from me. TJ, I know you're listening. Tractor Toy Zoom.
That'd be good.
Oh,
copyrighted.
Yep. It's copyrighted. You can't take it. It's along with my Globe Zoom and something else. Yeah.
Yeah, the Tractor Zoom, they did a really good job with their marketing on that. That was a fun thing where they gave away the tractors. I do a little bit on my TikTok, but as far as finding the values, auction listings, eBay sold listings is where I'll go for a lot of that. It really just varies. I think what drives the price up is going to be, you know, who's into collecting at that time. So right now, you know, 70s toys are really hot. You know, if they're brand new in the box, that blueprint replica is what they call them. You know, a guy that has a little bit of money in his pocket right now can probably remember opening that up on Christmas morning. You can't do any time travel. I've tried. It doesn't work. But you can go back in time, you know, for that moment when you're opening that toy or when you have that toy back in your possession. So there's toys on there that, you know, they still got the tag for $20, you know, back when however many years ago when they were purchased, and now they're selling for $1,500 to $2,000. So
yikes. I saw one of your TikToks talked about error.
Oh, yeah. So there'll be errors and different things. So Hot Wheels are big on errors. Farm toys have a little bit, but they're not quite as valuable in that sense. So like on Hot Wheels, you'll see it where they don't have the graphics on the side. You know, the tampo is what they call it, isn't on there. Or there's the wrong wheels are on there. The hard part with that is I can fake a lot of those, you know, the way that I can open them. So I don't put a lot of value on there, but some errors definitely have more value than other ones. So,
It'd be like a tractor without the decals or whatever exactly. It is.
And that does happen. Yeah, there's a few, the new John Deere toy combines that didn't have the decals on the side, but I don't know if it increased the value on those. It's all how you hype it. So if you get the right person talking about it, you know, and I put it on an auction, you know, on there, and it might sell for quite a bit.
There even used to be like Gold Stripe, and then there was the Black Stripe, and on the IH series, and even in the toys, there's that. Was that the Black Stripe series?
Yeah, so in toys, they have chasers. So they have a chase model. So I know with one of my Precision Series tractors, it's a 1066, and they have a white stripe, which is still going for $500 right now. They were brand new, like 160. Now, because they haven't had them out for however many years, they're selling for that. But then they have a black stripe, and that's the chaser. So I don't know what the number of production was, but say it was 10%. Those are selling for $900 to $1,000. So
it just popped my mind. If a tractor or a car itself is desirable or collectible,
absolutely,
does that make the toy?
I think to an extent, yeah. So the John Deere X9 is the big, you know, hot combine right now. And so those toy combines, they just put those out. I guess they just released. It was a little bit late from the 2021 Farm Progress Show. You could buy those from the dealer for $36, right? But they were selling for $150 on every other site, on Facebook Marketplace. The chasers, it was like a matte silver painted one, is selling for like $300, $350. And whoa. I think they'll just keep going up in value.
You're talking like 1/16th scale or
1/64th.
1/64. You're talking the little ones. I was going to say the big ones, they're selling for big money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I just did a video on a John Deere. I think it's an S780 that Ertl just did. And it's in 1/16th scale, and it's all die-cast. And that one from the dealership was $800.
I was going to say, we're more towards 1,000 for sure, probably. Yeah.
And I think, you know, they made 5,000 of that, which is a pretty big number for the farm toy world. But they're going to sell for more eventually down the road. They destroyed the tooling, so they're not going to make any more. But, you know, if they had done the X9, it would have been even bigger, I think.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah.
Mind blown.
Need to get one of those. Yeah. Remember when you used to go to the mall when malls were a thing? And then, like, it'd be like some random Saturday of the month or something. And then they'd have, like, a bunch of baseball card traders, like, set up at a table.
Yep.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. Is there something like that? Like a
Comic-Con or whatever?
Yeah.
Toys?
At the beginning of November, there's the National Farm Toy Show, which I think is the biggest farm toy show maybe in the world. I'm not sure how it all blurs over into Europe, but it's huge. So I'll be going to that. That's a fun one. I look forward to that every year. They also have the Summer Farm Toy Show. But yeah, there's toy shows throughout the year, and guys will go in there with thousands of dollars just ready to spend.
So it's like a gun show or a baseball card show. You're just sitting there trading. Yeah,
collecting is huge right now. So
how do you decide what you're going to, okay, I'm never selling that one, like you said. I'm never going to sell that. I'm going to flip this thing for a profit.
Yeah, so I guess I've gotten to the point now where I have doubles and triples or, you know, duplicates of everything that I own. There's some that are, you know, very rare. So I have one piece that is probably one of five. And so I'll never sell that one. It's Lucas Clement, 1/16 scale, Big Bud 650. And it's got a little blade on it. It's number two. So serialized number two. The last time it was sold, it was $5,500 on an auction. And that was several years ago. And toys have only gone up in value since then. So now I would imagine $6,000 to $7,000 probably or more. So that's one I'll probably never sell. A lot of them will be sold when I pass away. So
what about for our listeners? I have a lot of guys that collect the whole series. Like I have the 4230, the 4430, you know, they had the whole series of that. I always end up selling them individually.
Yeah.
I never sell them as the whole series because everybody else is collecting that series and they're just missing that one.
That's true.
Yeah, that was a big debate. There was in 2018, they had the 100 years of the tractor for John Deere. And so they had this silver series of tractors. And a lot of guys were collecting them all, hoping that, oh, it's going to be worth so much more when you sell it off down the road. But I don't think so, not for farm toys. Like you said, individually, I think you're going to get more money. You're going to get less for some, but you're not going to be forcing someone to buy, you know, a bunch of toys that they don't want. The big thing with that is people really only have so much money to spend. So you might as well maximize your potential with that individual piece because, you know, this guy may have the 4440, this guy may not have the 4480, so split them up.
Okay, so you walk into Tanner's office, you want a loan because you want to get back into farming, you want to buy this 80, and you got $1 million worth of toys in your basement.
Mm-hmm. Can I use that?
In your eyes, is that an asset? Is that equity?
It's high risk, but it's not, right?
How do you look at that, Tanner?
Oh, we don't hardly give any weight to gun collections and collections in general.
Mm-hmm. But if they had Tractor Toy Zoom that could show you a detailed list of everything he has on inventory and what the auction prices were and could show you that it's actually worth $1 million.
I'm sure if you could, it would be considered a non-marketable security or something along those lines of an investment.
It's no different than like a diamond ring or...
Yeah.
The hard part with the toy collection...
Could you even say gold?
Yeah. But gold you can easily move, right? A diamond ring you can move. Farm toys cost you a lot of money, as you guys know, to sell. But if you want to give me a loan for some farmland on... You know, based on farm toys, is kind of
I'm saying it might be a theory now. It might just be a discussion topic now, but you know, the way things are going.
So, cool. Listeners, we said that we gave you only one Black Friday hint, and that was to go to Outback Wraps, use the Farm for Profit code, and get your 20% off. But what about if we want to go shopping for a family member and they've got a collection or we want to get them something that's unique? Where's the best place? Where do you suggest we go look for stuff?
Yeah. So if you're looking to get farm toys or even just farm related branded things, Outback Toys is a really good place to go through. Dalton's Farm Toys, that's another really great one. Even the dealerships, that's honestly kind of a secret place, I guess. I thought most people knew that, but I get people asking me on my videos every day, where do you get toys? Well, you can go to the dealerships and you can find things there. That's a great spot. Baumgars, Tyson's, anywhere that sells farm related agriculture items, they're probably going to have farm toys.
So there's no secret black web.
Dark web.
Yeah, dark web.
Can just, you go to the dealership and order a toy, like if they don't have it in, just like a part?
Yeah, you can. It just depends on if it's still in stock at Ertl. A lot of times it seems like once the stock is sent out, it's kind of depleted. But yeah, you can definitely go to Case IH dealer, John Deere dealer. I know Van Wall over in Nevada, I go over there and tell them what toys I want. And they usually just hold them back for me and hook me up.
I didn't even think about that, actually having toys held back.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You got to make friends with the parts guys, because then they'll get those chasers for you. So, yeah, that works out really well. I called every single dealership in the United States, Case IH dealership, because I was chasing down this Steiger that was all gold. And I found three of them, and they wouldn't sell them. So one guy was willing to sell this one, and it was selling for like $1,800, and he only sold it to me for just the $160 plus shipping. So I was pretty tickled about that. Yeah.
Wow.
So I need that list of every dealership in the nation.
I just type Google.
If you have that, I need that.
So that's how you make the money there. Like you find it from the dealership and persistence. Then you can flip it.
Yeah, just my best thing that I've done is knowing what's going to be hot coming out. So I knew the John Deere X9 would be a big one. So I had, you know, pre-ordered a bunch of these things from different dealerships. The John Deere Silver Series, same kind of situation. Kind of having your ear and your finger on the pulse, you know what's going to be hot. You kind of gamble a little bit, but worst case scenario, when you're buying that much, you can mark it down to still make money at it.
Yeah.
Do you think Gearinghoff makes toy corn heads and drapers?
I doubt Gearinghoff does, but I bet they're
Have any of your combines have Gearinghoff?
I'm not sure. I think only MacDon is what I would have, yeah, unfortunately.
Well, we don't want to talk about MacDon.
No, we don't want to talk about that.
Because remember, listeners, Gearinghoff is ahead of class no matter the crop. Mm. And they are going to take over the toy universe.
Oh.
They'll have to talk with Speccast. Maybe Speccast can build them up something. That'd be good.
All right, Gearinghoff, I know you're listening.
Are they the go-to if you want to?
I think for that kind of like one-off production, they would definitely be. They did Puck, you know, it's like manure hauling stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I would think they'd be right up in line with that. They may actually have even done one now that I'm thinking about it. So I haven't followed it too much.
We should think they would have to because they got the first 60-foot corn head, didn't it? Wasn't that 24-row corn head? It was a Gearinghoff.
We
on
need
a Fendt Ideal, I think. Or wow. Wasn't it?
We need to get a Gearinghoff head farm for profit style.
Ooh.
And limited run. It'll be extremely valuable.
Yep. Serialize them. You know.
Serialize.
Yep. Yes.
We're only going to make 24. A couple.
We'll promote them on TikTok.
We each get one. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Tyler Price will give them away.
That's right. Yeah.
I like this.
People always want me to give stuff away. I'm like, I just don't have thousands of dollars to earn here, guys.
But if you want a full-size Gearinghoff head, visit them at gearinghoff.com.
So do you collect like Hubble toys as well? Cars?
What is that? What's a
Hubble? I have a, so Hubble or no.
A telescope?
I don't know. I have a Hubbly. That's what I was
Hubbly,
thinking.
Hubbly, that's what I'm looking for, not okay. Hubble.
Yeah, Hubbly. So like way back, I'm guessing that was the toy that everyone had, right?
What's a Hubbly?
It's a brand, just like an Ertl for tractors. Mm-hmm. It's a brand and a style of toy cars.
Yeah.
A lot of cars. So you'd get the service trucks, you'd get the little dump trucks, you'd get the cranes and the...
Yeah, yeah, and I've seen a few of those. I know my uncle has one of those down in my grandpa's basement still. So, yeah, Tonka's been huge. Tonka stuff is going crazy right now. My grandpa had one down in the basement that was my uncle's. It was a Tonka Rampoise truck that had the flatbed, and it just sat up there in the shelf taunting me my whole life. And so I'm like, I want that thing so bad because I just wanted to roll my tractor up on it. So finally, when I got to, you know, a few years ago, I decided I wanted to you know, try to find one of these Tonka trucks. So I found one down in Florida, and I messaged the guy, you know, would he take any less than what he was asking? And he asked for my address to calculate up the shipping, and I don't know, a week or so later, this toy showed up at my house. I hadn't even paid for it. And I'm like, what in the world? So I tried contacting the guy. He wouldn't respond, and he shipped this Tonka truck that's worth $500 to my house for nothing, you know? And I the only thing I can get out of it is that he liked my story, you know, that that my uncle had it, and I didn't get to play with it, so.
Oh, that's funny. And too bad, listeners, you can't see this, but Dave just pulled up the Hubbly toys on the big screen so we can actually see what he's talking about. But before we go any further, let's taste our last truly hard cider. What do we have, Corey?
We have a Cran Orange Sparkler. So this would be like a play on the holiday cranberry and then a little bit of orange. Smells the same as the last one.
Yeah, they do have the same smell.
Their can looks awful.
Oh, this one's my favorite so far.
This is very good.
Yeah. The other ones had...
It's just like a sparkly orange, like light orange juice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The other ones had a lasting spice,
like an
aftertaste.
Yeah. This one's more subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still crazy to me that every single one of these is clear, just the amount of different flavors they get in it and all that. Like, it's just weird.
Yeah. But a lot of times they just add the dye in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that's good for you.
If they're gluten-free, they're trying to market to a demographic that doesn't want dyes.
Probably. So do you have any Busch Light combines?
I don't have any of those yet, but I heard you guys have a real one.
So we have a real one.
Yeah.
And then a guy that works at Van Wall, John, he actually gets the 164th and then has a printer and puts it on there.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit perfectly, but...
Yeah, I've seen a few guys doing that, customizing them.
My question to you, and he gave me quite a few. My question, I cannot find a 9770 John Deere combine.
Yeah.
Like anywhere. It's all like kind of around there, like 96.
Yeah. And they don't make every single model, but if there's a model that's very similar, there's third party companies that will make the decals, you know, to match it up. So
okay.
Is there a similar model? The 9570, they're all pretty similar stylistically.
Yeah, I think I ended up getting a, I don't know, 9670 or 9870 or something like that with the bush light on it. You know, you can't even see the stickers in after that, but the box is wrong.
Yeah, and they'll cycle through it a couple different times. So Ertl and John Deere, what they'll do is they may make 12,000 of something, and then they'll use that, you know, the same tooling across all.
But I think a lot of guys would tell you that have went to the next series, the S670s, would be like, man, I wish I had my 9770 back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's like, I can't believe they don't have a toy of it.
Yeah. I know the X9 went crazy, so I'll be curious to see if that changes down the road. People switching over to the new combines. And
everybody probably wants an X9 toy because they, 1% of farmers could probably actually have afford the real one.
It's only like 1.2 million. It's fine.
So do you think that playing with toys, farm toys specifically, helped you memorize all the numbers? Because when you get into selling farm machinery or whatnot, if you didn't grow up with it, you don't know what a John Deere B and A is, or what a Alice G is, or a you know, somebody will just come to you and say, well, that's 560. Well, 560 what? What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Do you think that would help wannabe equipment dealers down the road?
I would think so, yeah. You know, especially knowing the size, you know, looking at them visually, they're all going to be to scale. So I think that helps. I've learned a lot just from doing auctions. You know, I grew up with what we farmed with, so I always knew those models. But when I went through to sell all the other toys that I've bought in different, you know, collections, then I'll learn more about Alice Chalmers and, you know, tractors that we didn't grow up around. So
I would say that would definitely help, because I couldn't tell you the popular models of the Case combines right now.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, like, that's, I feel like a bad farmer for not knowing that, but it's like, all I know is like, you know, who our dealer is and our, and what we run. And
I think their marketing's got a little confusing too. Like, John Deere did a really good job with the X9. You know, it's very simple. You know exactly what it is, right? So they could do an X9 100. They do an 1100, I think is what it is. X9, 1100, 1000. It's very simple, very clean. Whereas Case IH is doing like 8240, 8250. Well, what is 82? What does it mean? What does it mean? Yeah.
Right.
So there's a disconnect there.
You gotta be part of the club.
I'm guessing they're thinking that, you know, a farmer's going to go into the dealership, talk to a dealer. They're going to say, okay, how many acres are you farming? What are your expectations? They're going to break it down. But if it's me, I would be changing that up.
See, I thought the same thing with skid loaders when Bobcat was, they had S, T, and A. So S stood for skid steer, A stood for all-wheel steer, and T stood for track machine. And then whatever the number, the bigger the number, the more horsepower, you know, 590, 690, 790. I thought, well, that's simple. And then they went and jacked it up, and now they changed it to a 595 with nothing else on there, or a 692, you know, and just changed
it. Just like seed corn.
Yep.
What does that even mean?
What does that even
mean? You just got to take that number, add the first 50 to the first two, and then...
Yeah, it's funny. We're talking about, like, you know, the marketing side of it. It's funny because I've had, like, people from Case IH, from John Deere, they sit in meetings and watch some of my videos. Like, when I do a video for Ertl, they'll actually take it there and show it to them. And I'm like, I'm just thinking about a room full of these, like, execs, you know, watching my stupid videos on farm toys. Yep. You know, thinking, like, what is this guy doing?
So are you working on growing your audience even bigger?
Yeah, so that's always the plan. And, you know, some of the videos that I just did recently, I think I gained like 2,000 followers in a day or something like that. So, but as you guys know, it is hard to grow on TikTok. You get to a certain point and then you kind of max out. So you got to find ways to still stay on brand, I guess, in essence, but then change it up just enough to get some new people in there. And farm toys are kind of a niche, right? So everyone is, you know, probably connected to farmers some way or another in the Midwest. But once you go out of that area, then it starts to disconnect a little bit more. So,
well, you've been on the podcast now, so you're going to like double your, I mean, like our listeners.
342 now, when this comes out, it'll probably be like 335.
Yeah.
Like this guy is, you know.
We're out.
So I just was looking at farms.com, their top 9 most valuable toys, and it seems like the common theme is either silver or gold plated.
Oh, yeah. So the chasers, yeah.
Yeah, and it's the Alice Chalmers, the Massey Ferguson's, the more rare tractors manufactured made them more valuable on that side of it.
Absolutely.
So what are you chasing now? What's on your I need to go get list?
That would be dumb for him to say that. Then everyone else.
Well, everyone wants them.
Yeah, that's true. I'll throw the decoy out. Big Bud. Go buy Big Bud.
Yeah, I'm looking for John Deere.
And by the way, he's got 7 Big Buds listed for sale.
Yeah. I literally do. Yeah. Yeah, I actually... Well,
we fed into that one, didn't we?
Yeah. Big Buds are where I'm at right now. As a kid, I loved them. They were just big, massive tractors, and they were just kind of raw. You know, they weren't... you know, and I like John Deere. We grew up with International and some Massey Ferguson stuff, but yeah, the Big Buds always look cool, and you know, the Big Bud 747, the world's largest tractor. But I actually just recently bought a collection. It was for less than $20,000. I won't give away my number, but it was... chocked full of big bud tractors. And some of those individual pieces, you know, like I was saying, are $5,000 to $6,000 a piece. Yeah. So I've kind of gotten to the point now where the toys that I'm chasing are so high end that it costs so much money. So unless you're buying it in a collection or you're able to find a really rare deal, it's getting harder and harder to find. But
did you know Big Bud was manufactured in Havre, Montana, where I'm originally from?
I think you've really told me that.
So you need a Big Bud.
I do. I've
got a few Big Buds.
I think that 747 lives just in Chinook, Montana, but I'm not. I used to. I don't know if it still does.
Yeah. So it was actually up in Clarion. Did you know that?
With the triples,
they were getting new.
The LSWs.
Yeah. So I kept hounding on. So it's Heartland Museum up in Clarion. So if you guys like farm toys, that's an awesome museum, and it's actually got a ton of tractors in there. So a little shout out there for Clarion, Iowa, Heartland. I think it's just Heartland Museum. That's an awesome place. But they had the Big Bud there. So the world's largest tractor sat there for 2 or 3 years, or maybe more than that. I don't even know. But unfortunately, the wheels were getting so dilapidated that they had to replace them. So luckily, I think is it Firestone? Is that who does Titan Tire?
That'd be Goodyear.
Goodyear. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, Goodyear, so, Titan Farm Tire.
Yep. Yeah, so Titan, they donated the tires. And then I think the Williams brothers that own the Big Bud actually did the rims and everything else. So they put LSW duals on it, which is just a massive tractor. And then, of course, they did the toy tractor to tie it in, too. So I've been buying a couple of those. So those are pretty neat. I even have the gold one, even. Only $300. That one's pretty cheap. But maybe someday it'll be $1,000. So.
Holy smokes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you said something not tractor-related on the way in. You said you did a four-hour test for ADHD. And honestly, I was going through some of your videos last night, just kind of preparing for this. You kept using the ADHD.
Yeah.
I don't know what, what is it.
I don't. Oh, I got 80 of them.
Yeah, I don't know what 80
of them. I got 80 of them.
I don't know what HD
is. I just thought you were making fun of using that sound. So you actually did have to go get tested for that, right?
Yeah, so I've joked about it for my whole life. You know, I've growing up on a farm, you have a lot of things that are stimulating on the farm and keep you excited. Then when you go into a classroom, it's just like everything's quiet, everything's just boring, you know? So it just always drives me crazy. So finally, I'm 32 years old now. I decided, okay, let's do something about this. Or I should say my wife decided we should do something about this. So 9 months ago, my wife made the appointment to get into the doctor. And yeah, 4 hour long test where they ask you like cognitive questions and ask if you hear any voices inside your head.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Did you like stare at like blobs, like the black?
Kind of. Yeah, you have to like, I had to draw
something. What do you
something.
See? Tractors. Yeah. What do you see? Big Bud. Yeah. What do you see?
That's great. No, but they have you draw something and then represent, you know, later on to make sure your memory is good. Yeah, now I got to wait 2 more months to get the actual drugs, to the stimulants to help me. So we'll see if that helps or not.
Okay. But
hopefully it doesn't ruin my fun. That's all.
I mean, I've oftentimes questioned, and I don't know if it would be ADHD or if I just have something wrong with me. But I mean, there's times like at the beginning of the show, I just couldn't pay attention.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know if I had something else on my mind or.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of times I feel like I get pulled in 5-6 different directions.
Yep.
And then I do nothing.
Yeah, so, like, but I can hyper-focus on something and just go create. So, like, if I'm doing the TikToks, I can sit down and do that for 2-3 hours and just crank out content. And then it's when you're trying to sit down and actually you need to focus on something, it's the worst. Your brain is going off in other places. Or if you're trying to read something, you may be reading it, but you're thinking about 3 or 4 other things.
Yeah.
And
The ITBS, the Iowa Test of Basic Skills.
Oh, yeah.
The reading, I could never do, like, because I would sit there and I would read it. And I could read fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I would have to sit there and go back and read it slow, like word for word, and try to remember.
Yeah,
I could.
And it's not that you're not smart. You know, you're probably in some ways smarter than some other people. But yeah, it's just that.
Just a couple.
Yeah, having to retain it is
so
hard.
What would you say? I mean, you haven't got treated yet.
Yeah, no,
right?
No treatment. So, I kind of self-medicate with caffeine. So, you know, like the Monster Energy drinks. those seem to help. But the only problem with that is, like, you know, you can overdose on caffeine. So. Like one day I was at work and I had one in the morning and then one at lunch and I started seeing a flash of light in the corner of my eye. I'm like, what's going on here? I could see my heartbeat.
Yep.
Yeah. So
when I used to work for a company, I would drink a whole pot of coffee.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I was like spot on, just productive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I could get 8 hours of work done in the 2 hours that that thing, you know, fueled me.
Oh, yeah. That's the same for me.
And I was focused. And then it was the crash afternoon, you know, so then you're wanting more.
Then that's a struggle.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
deepers.
I'm interested to follow up and see how that, like, you know, the treatment and all that kind of goes.
Yeah.
I mean, because I know there's a lot of people out there that have just, it's almost a pride thing, kind of like mental health. Like, it's like, I don't need to talk about that. I'll just, you know, figure it out. You know, everyone else gets through it. I can do it. You know?
Yeah. Actually, I watched my sister kind of, she struggles with it too. And so she went through all the treatment and got on the stimulant, and that's made a huge difference. She does real estate down in Ankeny and Des Moines area. And so I think that's helped her a lot. And so it's kind of inspiring to me. She's my younger sister, but, you know, a little bit inspiring to me to, okay, let's try something, you know.
Did you go to your regular doctor or just a special doctor?
So that's fun. You go to your regular doctor, and then they refer you to the doctor that you need to go to do the test. And then that doctor refers you to a doctor to actually get the stimulant. So it's taken me like a year, honestly.
I asked my doctor in college when I couldn't focus on tests and some things like that. And he's like, oh, you don't need that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I wasn't asking. I just can't focus.
Yeah. And so the cool thing with this doctor is he actually sent me over like some documentation things to read, as long as I can focus long enough to read them. That will actually help you just kind of work through it without the drugs too. So, I mean, you know, drugs aren't always the answer. No. Stimulant isn't always the way to go. There's things that you can do. And this is what I've been doing for the longest time is just, you know, mentally keeping myself in check. You know, you kind of check yourself and you see your mind wandering. You're like, nope, let's snap back to where we need to go and run with it.
Yep.
I don't know. I like it.
You
just embraced it.
I'm just saying. I mean, I can go from one conversation here, and without skipping a beat, come right back to that one and not forget a second of where we were without like same sentence. That's why the best auctioneers have ADD.
Yeah.
And the reason is because it's information overload coming at you. I got an online bid here. I got the visual cue there. I got the audio cue over there. I'm still remembering what the value of this is. I'm thinking about what the next item coming in is, and then I'm thinking about what I got to say is the MC next. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Auctioneers make ADD makes the best auctioneers.
When it all is working.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yep.
And I am truly, I like to be multitasked.
Yep.
I mean, I like that this is going on over here and that's, I can set this button and that's, I'm leveraging my time there, but because it's doing it by itself. And then I'm doing something, making a phone call, whatever over here. I love that. But when it doesn't go good, that's, I don't know. I feel like I'm, like my depth of knowledge of it or is shallow. Like, I don't know. I just can't get into it. You know, it's like,
it's debilitating at times. Right. So like you said, it is a gift and a curse at the same time. Yeah. So
I just think everybody else can't keep up. It's their problem.
That's for sure. 100%.
I think that's why, like, I love Harvest and the chaos of like, all right, we got to do this, this, and this. Cause it's truly, you're stopping everything that you do daily to go get the grain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you're managing trucks and fuel and fertilizer, you know, calling the fertilizer and all that. And there's 100 different things going on. And then harvest is done.
Yep.
And you still got a bunch of stuff to do, but then you're lonesome.
Yeah, I think it's like stimulating, right? So I was pretty young when we got out of farming, but I can remember when we were farming, it was a very stimulating thing. Obviously, you're sitting in the combine, you do get a little bit bored or sitting in the grain cart. But yeah, it's something to change up. It's when you have a monotonous day after day after day that's exactly the same, nothing challenging. That's when it starts to like really mess with
challenge,
you.
Challenge. That's what I need.
Yeah.
The other thing I saw on your TikTok before we wrap up here is a pocket car.
Oh, yeah.
What's the significance of a pocket car?
It's pocket rider, pocket car. So I actually carry one.
He's got it in his pocket.
I've got the Gas Monkey Corvette today. So I don't know. It was just something kind of fun that I started doing. I opened up a car and put it in my pocket. You know, you got the pocket watch. I don't have a pocket watch anymore. I used to have an Apple Watch, but the top popped off. So, so it came a pocket watch. But anyway, I don't know. I just like having a car on there. And I've noticed other, like, Hot Wheels creators have started doing the same thing. They call them pocket riders or pocket rollers or I don't know. It's just something.
It's like an adult fidget spinner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So speaking of ADHD, if you get bored, you can just take it out and roll it around. And it always embarrasses my wife when I do that, but I don't really care. If she's already
probably shouldn't do that at the restaurant on a date.
That's what I do. Yeah. It's really funny.
I listened to a presenter. So one of the presentations that I was privy to attend had you put a marble in your pocket. Mm. And as you put your hand in your pocket, it's just to remind you to be present in the conversation.
That's cool.
To sit there and make sure you value the people and the position that you're in that moment. Mm-hmm. Now, that's actually a ball bearing because the glass marble that I had broke in my pocket on the farm. Nice.
That's no fun.
And I knew that ball bearing.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
So how many times has Allie found that in the dryer or the washer banging around?
Ding, 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 ding.
No comment. Yeah, I just was curious behind the pocket car, but
nothing too deep on it. Just something fun to have
in my pocket, but a knife.
Same thing there. I bet you make that think about where you're at. Can't go into courthouse with that.
No.
Yeah.
Well, Tyler, before we wrap up, you've listened to our podcast before.
Oh yeah.
Every one of our guests gets asked the same question. Mm-hmm. In your mind, the most successful people that you know, what do they all have in common?
Yeah. So since I've listened to it, I already kind of had this one thought up. I would say perspective is like just in one word. Perspective is the most successful people that I've known have done like real estate and property management or farming or just any kind of small business in general. And they had a unique perspective to how to do something. So, you know, with the property management, a lot of people would look at, okay, I can buy an apartment complex for $1 million and it'll get me, you know, $1,000 per month per unit. And, you know, well, that's very simple. But the perspective that I saw from the person that I used to work for was, no, you're actually making your money on the inflation. What can you do to increase the value month to month will actually increase the value of the overall complex. So 5% on a $1 million complex versus, you know, whatever measly return you were getting, you know, month to month is probably just paying your bills. So yeah, I would say perspective is huge.
I like it.
Put those toys into assets and borrow against for that $1 million.
Borrow against. We're going to farm management now, property management.
I should go through and see what the value is right now. I think it's probably close to $100,000.
I'm just hoping you have it all in an Excel spreadsheet with the serial numbers.
I'm not that good yet. So maybe
somebody needs an app for this, because everybody I get when we go to auction, then they'll be like, oh, yep, there they are. It's like, surely if you have 4,000 toys, you have these inventory. Nope. Well,
that can be a part of the toy tractor zoom.
Toy tractor zoom.
I'm telling, because Tractor Zoom actually has that.
Do your inventory.
you can have your inventory, and it has a live update of values. What that's value. Yep.
I do it with collections. When I buy a collection, I'll put it all into a spreadsheet, and then I'll have the different numbers, like list prices versus what they've sold for and what I'm asking. And then I'll just, you know, some of those go into my collection, so they get it.
Making it's one thing, probably maintaining it is another.
Well, I'll have to talk with you, because I just booked a toy tractor auction today.
I'm down. Yeah.
Actually.
He's probably like, no, that's not going to
auction. So next week, I'm going to look at it, and we're going to book that. It's booked, but we're going to go look at it to sell it. Yeah. So
we'll just call me. We'll go along.
That sounds fun.
I'm just going to throw this number out there to not go to auction.
Yeah. That's funny.
All right. How can people find you, Tyler?
Yeah, so I think my username across all platforms is tprice323. If you just search for me, Tyler Price from Farm Toys on TikTok, it'll come up. So yeah, I think, like I said, most of my usernames are all the same.
Yep, awesome. Well, thank you for hanging out with us in the studio. Really appreciate you being a guest on the podcast. And Corey?
Crack a truly holiday edition. You deserve it.
Didn't sound dope.
Intro music recorded by Tyler Richton and the High Bank Boys. Commentary added by Elena Montemagni. And credit to bensound.com for music.